Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor Avraham Goldar, and today we're in Masechus Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin, the first parak, Arba Rosh Hashanah. Masechus Rosh Hashanah has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chaya Bas Esther. This daf includes many of the well-known hashkafic sources of Rosh Hashanah, including how frequently one is judged, why the shofar is blown, and the three svarim that are open on that day. So the three dafs are going to focus on, number one, the next Mishnah states, Ba'arba Prakima Olam Nidon, at four junctures during the year, the world is judged. The Gemara asks who the Tana of the Mishnah is, as it's clear that it's not in accordance with the following four Tanaim mentioned in the Braisa. Rav Meir says that all matters are judged in Rosh Hashanah, and their Gzar Din is on Yom Kippur. Rav Yehuda says that all matters are judged in Rosh Hashanah, and their Gzar Din is in its proper time, on Pesach with the grain, on Shavuos with the fruit of the tree, etc. Rav Yossi says that Adon Nidon Mechol Yom, man is judged every day, as it says in the Pasuk, V'tifkadenu L'Bekarim, you inspect him in the morning. Rabbi Nassan says, Adam Nidon B'chol Shah, man is judged every moment, as it's stated at the end of the same pasuk, Uragayim Tifchanenu, every moment you examine him. The Gemara concludes that the Tana is a Tana from the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that the world is judged at four junctures. Point number two, the Gemara brings a braisa that teaches what a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Bnei Yisrael to do at each of the four junctures in order to receive favorable judgments. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, he says, Amru Lefanei Rosh Hashanah Malchios Zichronos V'Shofros, recite before me on Rosh Hashanah the Psukim of Kingship, Remembrance, and Shofar. Malchios Kedei Shetamuchuni Alechem, Psukim of Kingship, in order to accept my sovereignty upon yourselves. Zichronos Kedei Sheyaleh Zichronechem Lefanei Letova, Psukim of Remembrance, so that your remembrance should rise before me favorably, Ubameh, and with what should these Psukim be recited? B'Shofar, with the Shofar. Rabbi Yavoah said, why do we blow with the Shofar of a ram? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, blow before me using a Shofar of a ram, so that I will remember for you a Kedis Yitzchak ben Avram, umale ani alechem ki ilu akadetem atzmechem lefanai, and I'll consider it for you as if you had bound yourselves before me. And point number three, Rabbi Kruspedai said in the name of Yochanan, Shosh Hasfarim Niftachim Rosh Hashanah. Three books are opened on Rosh Hashanah. Echad Shel Rasham Gemurim, Echad Shel Tzedikim Gemurim, Echad Shel Beinonim. One for the completely wicked, one for the completely righteous, and one for the intermediate people. Tzadikim gemurim nichtavim nechtami l'altar chayim. The completely righteous are written and sealed immediately for life. Rishayim gemurim nichtavim nechtami l'altar l'misa. The completely wicked are written and sealed immediately for death. Benonim t'luim va'omdim Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim. The intermediate people are held in abeyance from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Zachu nichtavim l'chayim or zachu nichtavim l'misa. If they merit it, they're written for life. If they don't merit it, they're written for death. So once again, the three points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Ba'arba Prakima Olam Nidon. At four junctures during the year, the world is judged. The Gemara asks who the Tana of the Mishnah is, as it's clear that it's not in accordance with the following four Tanaim mentioned in Braisa. Rav Meir says that all matters are judged on Rosh Hashanah, and their Gzar Din is on Yom Kippur. Rav Yehuda says that all matters are judged on Rosh Hashanah, and their Gzar Din is in its proper time, on Pesach for the grain, on Shavuos for the fruit of the tree, etc. Rav Yossi says, Adon Nidon B'chol Yom. Man is judged every day, as it says in the Pasuk, V'tifkadenu L'Bekarim, you inspect him in the morning. Rabbi Nassan says, Adam Nidon B'chol Sha'ah, man is judged every moment, as it stated at the end of the same Pasuk, Uragayim Tifchanenu, every moment you examine him. The Gemara concludes that the Tana is a Tana from the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that the world is judged at four junctures. Point number two, the Gemara brings a Braisa that teaches what a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Bnei Yisrael to do at each of the four junctures in order to receive favorable judgments. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, he says, Armu Lefanei Rosh Hashanah Malchios Zichronos V'Shofros, recite before me on Rosh Hashanah the Psukim of Kingship, Remembrance, and Shofar. Malchios Kedei Shetamlichuni Alechem, Psukim of Kingship, in order to accept my sovereignty upon yourselves. Zichronos Kedei Sheyaleh Zichronechem Lefanei Letova, Psukim of Remembrance, so that your remembrance should rise before me favorably. Ubameh, and with what should these Psukim be recited? B'Shofar, with the Shofar. Rabbi Bo said, why do we blow with the Shofar of a ram? Kodesh Baruch Hu said, blow before me using a Shofar of a ram, so that I will remember for your sake, Akedis Yitzchak ben Avram, umalini alechem ki iu akadetem atzmechem ufanai, and I'll consider it for you as if you had bound yourselves before me. And pointing with you, Rabbi Kruspedai said in the Rabbi Yochanan, Shosh Hasfarim Niftachim v'Rosh Hashanah. Three books are open on Rosh Hashanah. Echad Shel Rishayim Gemurim, Echad Shel Tzedikim Gemurim, Echad Shel Beinonim. One for the completely wicked, one for the completely righteous, and one for the intermediate people. Tzadikim gemurim nichtavim nechtamim la'altar chayim. The completely righteous are written and sealed immediately for life. Rishayim gemurim nichtavim nechtamim la'altar l'misa. The completely wicked are written and sealed immediately for death. Beinonim t'lulim va'omdim Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim. The intermediate people are held in abeyance from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur. Zachu nichtavim l'chayim. Or zachu nichtavim l'misa. If they merit it, they are written for life. If they do not merit it, they are written for death. All right, so now we go to our Simur Daf Tes Zayin, and our standard Simur is toes, and we've been using an acrobat with big toes in many of the simonim. So here goes. The acrobat with the big toes, who did backflips in front of judges every day, while reciting three sets of psukim and blowing a shofar, would wait anxiously to see which book of results they would write him into. Once again, in slow motion. The acrobat with the big toes, that must be on Daf Tes Zayin. The acrobat with the big toes who did backflips in front of judges every day, which reminds us the next Mishnah says, Ba'arba Prakima Olam Nidon, at four junctures during the year the world is judged. The Gemara asks who the Tana of the Mishnah is, as it's clear that it's not in accordance with four Tanaim who all hold differently regarding when and how frequently one is judged. So the acrobat with the big toes who did backflips in front of judges every day, while reciting three sets of psukim and blowing a shofar, which reminds us, the Gemara brings up rice that teaches what a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Bnei Yisrael to do at each of the four junctures in order to receive favorable judgments. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, he says, Imru afani b'Rosh Hashanah, machiyos zichronos v'shofros. Recite before me on Rosh Hashanah the psukim of kingship, remembrance, and shofar. So the acrobat with the big toes who did backflips in front of judges every day, or reciting three sets of psukim and blowing a shofar, would wait anxiously to see which book of results they would write him into. Which reminds Rabbi Kurtz, what I said in the Rabbi Yochanan, Shosh Yisfayim Niftachim B'Rosh Hashanah. Three books are opened on Rosh Hashanah. Echad Shal Rishayim Gemorim, Echad Shal Tzadikim Gemorim, Ve'echad Shal Beinonim. So once again, the acrobat with the big toes, who did backflips in front of judges every day, while reciting three sets of psukim and blowing a shofar, would wait anxiously to see which book of results they would write him into. All right, now it's time for a four blot back Chazara. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simur Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. As one brother of 12? 12 brothers? That must be one Daf Yud Beis. As one brother played with his remote control boat in a boiling cauldron of hot water, which reminds us that according to Beleza, the change in nature during the Mabul is that they were punished with boiling water since they sinned with a boiling substance, meaning semen, and this is learned from the word shachacha mentioned by the Mabul, which means subsided, and by Megillas Esther with Vachamas Amel shachacha, the anger of the king cooled down. So, as one of the brothers played with his remote control boat in a boiling cauldron of hot water, his 11 brothers were busy taking miser from their beloved vegetables, which reminds us that Bryson mentioned the Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for both the Derabanan of tithing vegetables and for Deraisa Miseris. He mentioned Miser Yark first since it's Chavi to him because it's a Derabanan. So, as one brother played with his remote control boat in a boiling cauldron of hot water, his 11 brothers were busy taking miser from their beloved vegetables while standing under a big sign reminding them not to take miser sheni in the third and sixth years. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a source that there's no chi of a miser sheni in the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, but the Pasuk said shenas miser, referring to only one miser, and not the typical two of miser rishon and miser sheni. We know that Maaser Rishon is always brought based on a hekesh of Maaser Rishon to Nachalah. Just as an inheritance has no interruption, so too Maaser Rishon has no interruption, but is received by the Levi every year in the Shemitah cycle. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simur Daf Yud Gimel is a Bar Mitzvah boy. So here goes. The Bar Mitzvah boy, that must be on Daf Yud Gimel. The Bar Mitzvah boy excitedly used his new Rabbanan's measurement kit to determine exactly when his plant reached a third of its growth, which reminds us more about a mission that taught the produce and olives required tithing when they grow to one-third of their maturity. Rashi explains the produce refers to grains and grapes. Rabbi Yirmi said, Rabbi Zerah, they shouldn't cast aspersions on the measurements of the Rabbanan, for kol midas hachamim kenu. All the measurements of the Rabbanan like that, they're given in exact terms. So the Bar Mitzvah boy excitedly used his new Rabbanan's measurement kit to determine exactly when his plant reached a third of its growth, hoping it would last for 3 years, which reminds us, the Gemara seeks a source for the rule. The produce is assigned to a given year based on when it reaches one-third of its maturity. Sodom and Bryce, Rabbi Yonis Yosef says, the Pasuk states, I will ordain my bracha for you in the sixth year, and it will make a crop sufficient for the 3 years. Do not read it as it's written, for the 3 years, rather read it as though it's written, for a third of the crop. So that the sense of the Pasuk is that produce is considered finished when it's one-third ripe, and it's this moment that determines to which year's crop it should be assigned. So the Bar Mitzvah boy excitedly used his new Rabbanan's measurement kit to determine exactly when his plant reached a third of its growth, hoping it would last for 3 years, and also to check if his kidneys had taken root. Which reminds me, more brings a Mishnah in Shviz that teaches rice, mill, poppy, and sesame, which are all types of kidneys, Shehi Shrishu, if near Shoshana, that took root before Shoshana, are tithed according to the past year and are permitted on the seventh year. But if they took root after Shoshana, they're forbidden during the seventh year and are tithed according to the coming year, since they are harvested a few at a time, resulting in some being picked before Shoshana and some after, the Rabban chose to assign them based on taking root. Daf Yadal, so the Simmer Daf Yadal at his hands, and we use a juggler. So here goes. The juggler, that must be more on Daf Yadal at hand. The juggler performing in the freezing cold at the tree's birthday party, which reminds us. The Gemara asks what the reason is that the Rosh Hashanah for trees is in Shvat, and answers, based on the statement the Rebbe Elazar said in the Rebbe Oshia, that even though most of the winter season is yet to come, the Rosh Hashanah for trees is still in Shvat, because most of the rain days of the year have already passed. And Rosh explains that these rains cause the sap to rise in the trees, and it's this that will cause the new fruits to emerge. So the juggler performing in the freezing cold at the tree's birthday party, juggling Maaser Ani and Maaser Esrogim at the same time, which reminds us that there was an instance of Rabbi Akiva where he picked the fruits of an Esrog tree on the first of Shvat in the third year of the Shemitah cycle, and he subjected them to two tithes. Maaser Ani, in accordance with Beis Shammai, hold that Rosh Hashanah trees begins on the first of Shvat, and Maaser Sheni, in accordance with Beis Hillel, hold that Rosh Hashanah does not begin until the 15th. Now the Gemara asks if we act in accordance with two chumras, since the Braisa taught the one who adopts the chumras of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the pasuk states "Vaksil b'choshek teilech," and the fool goes in darkness. So how then could Rabbi Akiva act in accordance with both? The Gemara answers Rabbi Akiva meant to follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, but was unsure which date Beis Hillel held. Therefore, he gave both tithes. So the juggler performing in the freezing cold at the tree's birthday party, juggling Maaser Ani and Maaser Sheni Esrogim at the same time, threw three Esrogim up, high as the tree, and one down, as low as a vegetable. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says Rabbi Akiva was subjecting the Esrog to two tithes, according to the practice of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar, due to his uncertainty as to the halacha in their malchokas. Rabbi Gamliel said an Esrog is similar to a tree in three ways, and to a vegetable in one way. It's similar to a tree in regard to Orel, Ravai, and Shmi, in that it goes Basar Chanata, and it's similar to a vegetable in one way, its status regarding Maaser is determined at the time of Akita, at the time that it's picked. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says the Esrog is similar to a tree in every respect, even regarding Maaser. According to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva was unsure as to whose opinion to follow, so he took both. Daf Tezvav, so the Simmer Daf Tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The farmhands who collected the Esrogim with fingerprints all over them into fruit bowls, that must be on Daf Tezvav too, Tu Bishvat. The farmhands who collected the Esrogim with fingerprints all over them into fruit bowls, which reminds Rabbi holds that even though an Esrog had Chanate in the sixth year, because everyone's hands touches it during the seventh year, it's practically ownerless and therefore putter from Maaseres. So the farmhands who collected the Esrogim with fingerprints all over them into fruit bowls from the crop that emerged and were picked in the same year, which reminds Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said the name Rabbi Shimon, that for something to be chayv in Maaseres or biur, it must have chanat and lakita in the same year. So the farmhands who collected the Esrogim with fingerprints all over them into fruit bowls from the crop that emerged and were picked in the same year, worked for a farmer who wasn't based in testifying, as Rogan go after Lakita for Maaser and Chanata for Shemitah. Which reminds us, we learned that Rabba and Rav Hamnuna go according to Av Thomas, who testified that an Esrog goes after its picking for Maaser and after Chanata for Shemitah. However, the Rabban ruled that we follow the time of its picking for Maaser and Shemitah. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldham Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.